Welcome to Critical Issues Commentary, the radio ministry of Gospel of Grace Fellowship, a non-denominational Christian church in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. This is Barb Gretsch, your host for today, and I'm speaking with Bob DeWay, Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, and the author of Critical Issues Commentary. In our current series, we've been critiquing the book Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. We're in a section about becoming like Jesus, which Comer has laid forth as a goal for apprentices of Jesus. And he said that in becoming like Jesus, there are three losing strategies. And the first one we discussed in our last episode, that was willpower. Let's kind of wrap that up today. And he also says that Bible study is a losing strategy for becoming like Jesus. Bob, what's your reaction to that one?
Well, it's obviously a rejection of the Reformation, I'll tell you that. Scripture, sola scriptura. But we'll get to that. Willpower, okay. That is interesting how he dealt with it. We mentioned that, his total surrender idea. But we're not claiming people are saved by willpower, so we can agree with that. But it's often misunderstood. I did a whole bunch of research on the human will in regard to salvation and grace and so on. When I was in seminary, I spent about 10 years reading books on it. I finally wrote a paper about it, which is published, Critical Issues Commentary, issue number 92. Issue 92. Free will or bondage of the will, definitions are critical. January, February, 2006. Jonathan Edwards' book on the freedom of the will is probably the best work of everyone that I read. And I read a bunch of works on this. And I explain Edwards, apply Edwards' categories, and his simple definition, which he ended up with, was that free will is the ability to choose as one pleases. So you can, if you're interested in that and you have heard debates on it, I would suggest you read the article because it will give you the categories you need.
Super. And that's issue 92, CIC issue 92.
Now, he goes from that to the losing strategy of Bible study or more Bible study. So I want to address that. And I think the problem is, if you accept his premise of this whole spiritual formation theory, which is a replacement for original sin, so you have billions of person-specific processes that have happened to everybody on the face of the earth from birth on, or from before birth on, spiritual formation. And then a new process you begin if you decide you want to be an apprentice of Jesus. Of course, there are none, but we've already covered that. Then you have this other process, which is also going to be a lifetime process. It'll be person specific. Every person has some other formation process they need. It's not given as the same thing for every Christian, because you got formed in specific ways. You have to get unformed and reformed in other ways. And so you get into this process of spiritual formation, which we've said over and over. It is not sanctification. And that's why more Bible study is a losing strategy to John Mark Comer, because instead of every single Christian having the same needs to be conformed to the image of Christ, to the same promises given to every Christian by the same means given to all, means of grace, the Lord's Supper, baptism, scripture, and prayer. Okay, I wrote an article on that called Means of Grace. You can look that one up. They're for all Christians. But that's not how he explains it. This is just something that doesn't work for most people when it comes to spiritual formation. Barb, you were mentioning that you were discussing this with your husband this morning about what he teaches on this.
Yeah, on page 86, where John Mark Comer is going into the losing strategy of more Bible study, he says, Protestants, rightly, I think, emphasize the formative power of Scripture to shape us into the mold of Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful. Jesus himself was a rabbi, Comer says. His teaching was saturated in Scripture to the nth degree. That just really caught me off guard that he says Jesus used scripture. Well, of course, Jesus referred to the teachings of the Old Testament, but Jesus himself, he is the Word of God in the flesh, and he spoke scripture. Bob DeWay has begun teaching in the book of Hebrews just this past week, and he's teaching us that God spoke to us in many ways, and in these last days, he's spoken to us in his Son, and that Jesus is the authoritative speaker of God. He is God. Anyways, I would encourage any of our readers to join us in our new study of Hebrews that we're doing at ggf.church. You can look that up on the website. We've just begun, so you're not behind, and you can join us as we go forward learning about Jesus and the importance of the Word of God. But anyways, it totally caught me off guard when I was reading this section that, and it seemed so disrespectful of Jesus to frame him in that way.
I agree. And what's discounted by this is the fact that God's word is powerful. It says this in Hebrews, sharper than a two-edged sword. The word of God isn't just information, which is what he portrays it as, religious information. It's powerful. And then he says, well, the real problem with it is Protestants are easily blinded by other Western assumptions, okay, that we can
There we
actually
go.
know the Word of God and have our minds changed because we believe differently, that God transforms us, and so on. But then in the end, he rejects it based on pragmatic reasons. These may be good, Bible study is good, even essential, but have a very poor track record. All right, so here we go again, the track record. Pragmatism. We need to be formed into apprentices of Jesus, and it's a lifelong process. And Bible studies have been around forever, and they don't really work very well. Got a poor track record. Now, this should be anathema to every Christian who loves the truth of the Word of God. But he's selling millions of books, and so that's evidently not what people are interested in. But I'll tell you something, and if anybody's listening who's a Bible teacher or an elder or somebody working in churches, the Word of God will do what God says he will do. God works through his Word, he brings his power to bear in our lives through his word. Teach the word, as Paul told Timothy, preach the word. And we should be consistent in that. And we should be lifelong students of the word. And God is at work. And one of the primary means of sanctification is the word of God. So if you do join us in the Hebrews sermons that I'm putting out there now, I've these resources that are amazing that are out there. If you want to learn this from original languages, what I'm doing, and then presenting it to people who are English speakers, the best I can. But this is powerful. One of the things we learn in Hebrews is once for all, that religious processes are not sufficient. That His work was done once for all. He's a high priest who actually hears us, who laid down his own life once for all. And so you don't have this lifelong spiritual formation. You have God's supernatural work conforming us to the image of Christ. The initial work of God through the word of truth, as we saw last week in our discussion from Colossians 1, results in a total change of our situation. And that's found in Colossians 1, 13 and 14. So do you want to read that, Barb?
I've been bit. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Yes, and so this shows the change of status for all who believe in Christ. We're actually removed from the domain of spiritual darkness and put under the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're no longer in the kingdom of darkness. We're in the kingdom of his beloved Son. We've received redemption, forgiveness of sins. We did a podcast series on this, if you're interested. And I wrote an article on Colossians 1, 13 and 14 for a CIC that you can look up. And so that's our new status. So everything that is true about how God changes us, that we saw there last time in Colossians 1, is grounded in this new status that's only true for believers. The reason I believe spiritual formation teachings and meditative techniques and these other things from false teachers that are invading the church, they're popular because most people in churches are not converted. Okay? If you're just a religious consumer and you're going to a church because you think that it's good to be a Christian and you want to raise your kids in a Christian environment, so you find a place to go to church. But that's not identical to being converted. And so when you're born again by the Holy Spirit, when you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're indwelt by the Spirit. He, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of truth. Every single person who has received forgiveness of sins, who has been rescued from darkness, who has come under the authority of the kingdom of God through the person of the King, the Son, who is also King, we'll see that in Hebrews, that those same persons, all of us, are born again with a love for the truth. The Holy Spirit, who inspired the Bible, is speaking through the scriptures. And as we study and read them together, he speaks to us through the scriptures, according to authorial intent. The Holy Spirit-inspired authors are giving us what we need for sanctification. That happens through the means God ordained. I notice in Hebrews, no author as a person is mentioned, just the fact that God has spoken. And then later, I mentioned that last week in my sermon. But as we go forward, the author of Hebrews cites scripture saying, as the Holy Spirit says, and then quotes scripture. So his idea that losing strategy is another Bible study is assuming you have a group of religious consumers going to some sort of a church with some sort of Christian auspices, but they don't actually know Christ. And if you don't know Christ, then you are not born of the Spirit, and you look at things differently. You look at things through human categories. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. Spiritual formation, even mentioning Jesus as the kind of the exemplar of what it's going to look like if you get formed, is something interesting to the natural man who isn't interested in the things of the Spirit of God. Because they bring in the Eastern meditative techniques. Eastern religion is very popular. Eastern religion has no problem with Christ. They believe in the Spirit of Christ, and which is a universal thing. And so anybody can sort of tap into this universal Spirit of Christ and become one with the universe or whatever it is they're trying to do. That's not biblical Christianity. If you are born of the Spirit, you have a love for the Word of God because God put that in your heart. And when you read about the glories of salvation, the hope of the kingdom of God, the differences that we have because of Christ, the forgiveness of sins, the one-time decisive purgation, as it says in Hebrews, that the blood of bulls and goats could never take away. Those things are exciting because it tells you that you're safe. It tells you that God is going to protect you. It tells you that God is going to bring you all the way to glory. It tells you that God is changing you. And you don't have some crisis, secondary crisis, like total surrender. Now everything's okay. It's a lifetime of the Word of God regenerating our minds or renewing our minds. Regeneration happens at conversion. Renewal goes on. We saw that in Colossians 1. And God will do this because of who He is, who His promises are, and who He's made us to be as joint heirs with Christ. Another promise that His inheritance we will be part of, co-heirs with Christ. Now, so we mentioned Colossians 1, 13 and 14, rescued, transferred, redeemed, and forgiven. I want to make a statement about that. What God did is the ground of the change described in verses 3 through 6. God rescued, transferred, redeemed, and forgave us. That's what happened when we accepted and believe the word of truth, the gospel. This is the state of conversion all who know Christ are in. If we're converted, that's what it's like. Those things are true for all. This is not naivete about the complexities of fear of previous spiritual formation. In other words, all the things that happened formed us, according to John Mark Comer. All the little details of what sort of sinner we are. But when the gospel was preached in the book of Acts, it was for Jew or Gentile. Believe me, the Gentiles, or the Greeks, as they're called, had a whole different set of experiences than the Jews did. But they were all lost sinners. So it's one gospel and one plan of sanctification. So I'm saying this is not naivete about these complexities. The Bible is clear about sin, and it's something that means that we're spiritually dead in Adam. That was true for all. So what I'm saying is that what the gospel prescribes, the need for turning to Christ, the forgiveness of sins, transfer, rescue from the realm of darkness, transfer into the kingdom of His beloved Son, and so on, forgiveness, is needed by all. And you don't have to analyze what sort of sinner you were. You have to believe that God gave His Son to die for all. And whatever sins we've had, we can come to Christ for forgiveness. And He changes us. It says in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. But then he goes on to say, God being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved. God makes dead sinners alive. When you believe
Amen.
In Christ, that's salvation. Forget all this formation. Forget all the determinism. Forget all the self-analysis. And what about this? And what about that? And I can't seem to get things straightened out. Or this Bible study isn't working. And believe the promises of God.
Bob, that's great teaching. Thank you for the encouragement from the scriptures. We do want to remind you that Bob has written an article, CIC Issue 131, Rescued, Transferred, Redeemed, and Forgiven. It's an expositional study of Colossians 1, 13, and 14. We also did a podcast series on that. So Bob's got some really great in-depth teaching on what God has done for us in Christ. And we rejoice at that. Thank you, Lord. We want to remind you that you can access this program as well as many others and years worth of articles at cicministry.org. And we want to remind all of you, as it says in Philippians 1:27, stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel. For Critical Issues Commentary, this has been Barb Gretsch and
Bob Dwayne.
And we'll see you soon. Thank you.